I know my son wants me in England really bad. Whether I go there and stay a month at a time or whatever, we're going to let the Lord lead in that. Pam and I both, we're not sure where that's going. Of course, I want to be there. And missions has always been my passion. And I just, in 1985, went to Africa for 2-3 weeks and really got burdened to go back to Africa and didn't. Had a really successful business at the time, engineering business, and our church was doing well, and I was teaching there and designing new buildings, and all that was going on. We raised our children in that little church, a little Baptist church, just like this, independent, but about a third of the size, but now it's probably half the size of this. But anyway, I feel like God's leading me for the rest of my life to do something a little bit different now, whether I stay in England for a little while or whether I become a rep for the trust and all that's going on in Africa and everywhere else. There's church buildings open. We need preachers there, need young men there, young families there. All that is going on in England. And if the Lord wants me to have part of that, that's what I'm seeking. I'm just seeking the Lord. So between now and all that, we feel like we've got our home and land sold if these people in California will just come and say something. They love it, and then we're down to the last thing. But anyway, we'll see where that goes too. That's all in the Lord's hands, guys. Everything's in God's hands. And your life, I've been doing this teaching for 42, 43 years. I can't even remember. I started teaching seventh graders, I think is what I started. And just, I've taught everything since then. So I'm, as you know, I'm comfortable speaking in front of people and don't have a problem with that. I've learned so much by being a Sunday school teacher. You have to study, and a lot of you have been there and done that. And through the years, and then it when I started teaching adults, probably, I don't know, when right before I came down here in 99, I was teaching an adult class in West Virginia, and Peter Lastly threw me right into an adult class here within a year, and this is where I've been ever since. God led me here, and I'm staying here. I ain't going nowhere. I'll probably be substituting some. I'm going to be floating around. Graham's going to take that big class over there, and he's not fully here. He's here, but not here. So I may have to teach some of those classes. But I just told, just telling the pastor that I'm available. And when I'm going to be gone, I'll let him know I'm gone. But we're not going anywhere. We're going to buy a little house here close by. We're downsizing from 7,000 square feet down to 2,000 square feet. So anyway, we'll be here. Pam and I, she's got family. We're all our families here except for Levi and his youngins. And we feel like we want to stay here. I want to be here most of the time. Now, if I'm gone 3 or 4 months a year, I think that may be what God's leading me to do. It may be. I don't know yet. But anyway, I've enjoyed teaching this class. I look back at the history. We can remember back about when Jack Mosier was teaching here, some of you were here then in that class, and it was pretty good size. And then I had the faith class back in the gym at the time, and it was about 30, and I had some people here that were there. A lot of those folks are in heaven now. A lot of the people that were in Jack's class are in heaven now. And time marches on, and God's will His will for this class and the church will go forward, whatever it may be. Now, Phil Talbert, which is a retired preacher, he kind of sits over there, and he's going to be taking the class and going forward with it. And so he seems to be well-spoken. The preacher trusts him and all that kind of thing. I've never heard him speak. Intend on listening. So I am going to miss being in here, and we'll probably be in here, but we're going to float around a little bit and see how we feel about other Sunday school classes. And we know that one in there is really big, and then we got some other smaller ones, but those are more young adults kind of thing. But we'll see where God leads and all that. So anyway, I do enjoy teaching. I enjoy digging in God's Word and bringing something that lights my mind through the Holy Spirit and bring it to you guys. You can't let a position in a church, be it deacon or teacher or any of that stuff, it's not of myself. God just uses what I have, and I'm just an old creek boy, able to talk a little bit. And God has used me, and I praise his name for that, and I want to continue to be used. So anyway, saying that, Phil Talbot will be here next week. I'll be here somewhere. So we'll see. We may stay in here a little bit, may float over there a little bit. We'll see what we're going to do. And then you just, if you want to pray that God will lead me in my next step in what I'm going to do for the Lord. I'm not done. Yeah, my body's wearing out, but I'm not done. I'm still fairly healthy. Just got arthritis and a little bit of eye problems, but I can get through that. Anyway, it's Father's Day, and there's all kinds of lessons on Father's Day, but I was on the computer. I have some programs that I look up, and you can look up words. And it just came to me the other day, well, what if I wanted to do this or wanted to do that? Or what if I treated somebody poorly? So I just typed in "what if" in a search, and I came up just on the New Testament side, hundreds of verses that God was speaking to the disciples and through Paul, and it says "what if." So we're going to get into that. Danny, come and get us started with the prayers, and we'll talk about "what if" here in just a minute.
Well, good morning. Happy Father's Day to the fathers in here. It's wonderful that we've set aside a day in the year to honor our fathers and our mothers, and the Bible tells us to do that. And so it's just a pleasure to have a day set here where we can say Happy Father's Day. I'd like to say before I get started, we've been having Freddie and Lisa Davenport come and visit with us for a few weeks here, and we're so glad to have them with us, and hope you enjoy it and you stay with us. That's really good. Okay, today I won't take a lot of time to go in the bulletin. You've got one there and you can read most of them. I will point out just a couple of things. We're going to have in the evening service tonight, we're going to have Dan and Dee Coach from South Korea. So they will be exciting to hear from if you come back tonight. And then we want to offer our condolences to those who've lost loved ones this week. Miss Judy Whitson went home to be with the Lord. And we're fortunate to be able to see Miss Judy on Thursday. So she was still alert and still giving that pretty smile she had. So we're so thankful for her life and her testimony and her work here at Buffalo Ridge Church. And the last words that I heard her say was, "I want to see Jesus." So, you know, that... It's amazing to have people like that among us that have a heart for God. And so also we have Deborah Neal with the passing of her mother, Miss Ruth Naive, and we have Kelby Moore with the passing of his stepmother, Helen Moore, and then Lola Gamble in the passing of her brother, James Ketron. So we have a lot of folks that are hurting in their physical body today, and we would want to hold them up in prayer. There will be things that are coming up this coming week. I would like to encourage you to look at the bulletin closely and read it. And if you're involved in any of these things, please take notice of that. For our prayer requests this morning, we have our people that are still battling with cancer. And so we bring them to you. And I know Brother David Harrison has not been here now for close to a month. And we're praying for him. Phil says Debbie Deacons is getting along pretty good right now. And they'll do some tests tomorrow. So others, I won't go through naming them all, but remember our cancer patients. And then there's regular ones that are out sick. I pray that you'll just remember them during the course of your prayers this week and bring them to the Lord. With that being said, does anyone have a special request this morning before we go to the Lord in prayer? Okay. Two unspoken. And our granddaughter's having surgery on Wednesday morning for a broken leg. So she's 9 years old, and you can imagine what that's going to be like for her. So anyway, let's pray about that. And Brother Steve, I'd like to say thank you for your faithfulness to this class.
Hey, it's all about Jesus.
It's all about Jesus. But it's good to have a willing servant that will come and be faithful, and thank you. We appreciate you very, very, very much, and we look forward to hearing you at different times in the future. Okay, all right. Well, let's go to the Lord and pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for our fathers. And Lord, many of us have already seen our fathers go to heaven. And Lord, we know that there is hope there that we'll see them again because they confess the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Lord, we have promised that from your word that if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you'll go to heaven when you die. And Lord, we trust that with all of our heart. And God, we just pray now for these that still have their father with them. Lord, I pray that you'll let them enjoy that time. And Lord, just encourage them as they get older. And God, sometimes we do need encouragement as we're growing older. And Father, pray for this lesson this morning that Steve's got. Lord, we pray that you'll bless it. God, we pray for the service to come. Pray that you'll bless Brother Herdman. And Father, them for this week, Lord, for the funerals that we will attend, Lord willing, and Lord, for those families that are suffering, we pray for them. And do remember our granddaughter, I pray, Lord, and all the other cancer patients and people that are sick. God, would you touch them and help them in this time? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, Danny. Thank you. Okay, we're going to look at a lot of verses, and you probably won't have to look them up. There's so many that I wanted to use. So the Bible says, if you're this or that, looking at fathers today and looking at men as leaders in families, we have a void in society today where a lot of families are broken and they don't have a father figure, and we see that the children grows up and has difficulties because of that. Not always, but that normally when these broken families happen, it's because even in Christian situations, even with people saying that they're saved, they have situations happen that if they were closer to the Lord, you would not let the sun go down upon your wrath. I've always purposed that in family with children and your wife. Don't put anybody to bed mad. Don't let them go to bed puffing and huffing. It's God don't want it, so we shouldn't want it. So I'm going to look at some just verses that popped up. Like I say, I did a search, and I guess I'll have to wear these. So in Matthew 5:46, the first one, he says, "If ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not every publicans the same?" So God's saying there that, are you loving somebody because they love you? Or do you love them and they may be unlovable? Sometimes, let's just talk about family today, because we're talking about fathers. Fathers have families, have children. This can apply to the ladies too. If you love them just because they've loved you, and you never walk up to your children without any cause and put your arms around them and hug them and say, "I love you," that means so much more than when they come running to you and hug on you and then you say you love them. And you pass that word around so freely. That "I love you" thing, is it real? And to make our family members feel that it's real, there's no reason why I can't go out of my way for some family member that's visiting my house to put my arm around them because of no cause. They didn't do anything. They didn't bring anything. They're just there. And say, "I love you." Wouldn't you rather have that done to you? Well, of course you would. That means so much more when a family member just says, "I love you," for no reason. And that's what the Lord was talking about there. He was saying even the publicans, even these sinners have that kind of love, the love that's just thrown out there. Let's move on down in Matthew 6:14. "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." How many times you hold a grudge and don't forgive? That right there, if you can't get Jesus in the middle of a home, the forgiving becomes very difficult. You've got to have Christ-centered home. Dads need to purpose that, not the wife. Now, most of the time the wife does, but the dads need to say, "We're going to church tomorrow. We're not going to have this in the house. You're going to dress this way." The dad needs to say that. The dad needs to step up to the bat, if you know what I'm saying. None of this is easy. Loving your wives, loving your children, having a happy home. As Pastor Lashley said, there's a four-letter word, W-O-R-K. It takes that. On everybody's part, especially dad. Dad needs to step up and be the leader. And I think where our families are failing today is because we hear of dads just walking away and leaving. Or dads come up with some reason to go, some other lady or some other job or something, and the family is just left behind. And that's why we see the society that we have today is kind of sideways in a lot of cases. And this has been happening over time. So if ye He says, for if ye forgive men of their trespasses, says your heavenly Father's more apt to forgive you. Then it says on down in the next verse, but if ye forgive them not their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive your trespasses. That, for me, we know we have a forgiving God, but he is concerned about us being forgiving to our family members and others. But we're talking about family today here, as moms and dads. Dad needs to be ready to stand up and say, I'm sorry. I messed up. Nobody wants to say they're wrong today. Oh, I wasn't wrong in doing that. Well, yes, you were. Yes, I was. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I should have not done that. We need to learn how to forgive. And not only forgive, but give it to the Lord. People say forgive and forget. Well, if I do something, I don't want to forget it. If I've messed up and it hurts somebody, God help me not to do that again. Just forgive and forget. I'm going to say, Lord, you help me with this. You help me with this, whatever it may be. And then we go on down to the next one that I thought was interesting. And if ye will receive it. In the previous verses and the verses after this, we're talking about the doctrine. It is the doctrine. And in this verse right here, he was talking to the Jews and some of the Gentiles, because he uses the word Elias, which is Elijah. And that is Hebrew and Greek kind of mixed together to say Elijah. And what was going on in this conversation was they were talking about the doctrine, but the Jews were still saying that the prophets, Elias at the time in this conversation, and all the other prophets of the Old Testament, they were going to come first and usher in Christ, usher in the Savior of the Jewish nation. Well, we know that did not happen. Christ is foremost. So what we're saying here is, says, if ye will receive the doctrine, it. As a father figure in my family, in my extended family, I want to make sure that I stand on the doctrine. And I'm able to explain it, talk about it, preach it if I have to, set my youngins down and say, here's what God says about that. About all things in life. But first thing you got to get is the doctrine straight in your life, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And we start seeing confusion in other doctrines and other churches about you have to be baptized. Oh, if you sin, you got to go get baptized again. And all those kind of things. And different kind of preachers and teachers and different kinds of churches, and the entertainment is out there. There's very few churches, I can't say nobody. There's very few churches that are stayed on the doctrine. When I first come here in 1999, Pastor Lassley came to my house and he said, I want you to be a deacon here soon. I want you to take a class soon. I said, fine. All that, we'll just let the Lord lead and all that. But he said he was thinking about retirement at that point in 1999. He said, I want you to promise me that you never let this church vary off the doctrine. That you never let the music change. You never let the preaching change. That you never let this and that and this and that. He said, if you're going to be a deacon and a lead deacon, I want you to promise me that you'll do that. Because you're probably going to outlast me. And I said, I will. And I do. And I will go on doing that. And I think most of you in here would too, stand up for the doctrine and what's right. How this church functions and what's going on with the doctor, much less back that down to a small unit, which is your family, is your church, men. It's that way. That's the way God made it, and that's what he wants us to be faithful in the doctrine. And then in Matthew 17:20, it says, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you," we've heard this before, "if you have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed," well, he goes on there to say you can move mountains. One of the hardest things I think for me is have the faith and believe that God is going to do it. The problem is he going to do it the way I want it? See, you put that I in there and you get in trouble. Just as Satan did in the beginning, I will be like God, and I will do this, and I will do that. We have to have faith in all things, especially in our family. If we have one of our young'uns kind of go sideways, we need to be down on our knees praying about it and saying, "God, help me with this. Help me with this child. Help me with this person in my family." We've got family members that may need that right now. That needs to be prayed for. It needs to be talked about. Need to treat them in a different way to show them that the doctrine works. And then they may come and say, I've got extended family members, and Pam does too, that are not saved, that need to know the doctrine. Can you preach it, teach it, understand it enough to lead someone to Christ? Dads, moms? Then he goes on down there and says in Matthew 18:35, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts, forgive not every one his trespasses." From your hearts. Don't just talk it. Really mean it. Now, you may say, "I can talk it." Well, God sees that. God knows your heart. Are you really true when you forgive somebody and really forgive them of what they may have done to you or your family? A lot of this stuff is easy to read and say, "Yeah, I do it." But do we really? Matthew 11:26, "But if ye do not forgive, neither will the Father which is in heaven forgive your trespass." There it is again. That right there goes on and on through the New Testament. God is very interested in us forgiving one another, especially family members. How can we stand to let family members? And I know sometimes it's not our fault. Some of our family members get off. Debbie had a brother that absolutely, we tried to love that boy, and he would be fine for a while, and then he wouldn't be fine for a while. Sometimes you can't love them enough. You've got to let God love them and hand them over to God. And sometimes that don't even work. It's God's will. It's his plan. But do you want to be in God's will? Of course we do. We want to do what these verses keep saying, repeating, to forgive. For if ye love them which love you, what think have ye? It goes on there to say, for sinners also love those who love them. I tell you what, if one of my youngins come up and say, "Dad, I love you," I appreciate that. I didn't earn that. God gave that to me. I have some blessed youngins because of what God did, I didn't know enough to know when I started going to church all the time. and going and taking my babies when they were 2 and 3 days old to church. And I tried to do this the best I could. And I didn't know everything. I didn't know nothing. Come out of the Navy and been saved years ago, but far as any depth in that word, until I got into that little independent church and started studying and hearing, I didn't know anything. But God sees your sincerity and takes that and uses it. And I'm so blessed. I just keep bragging on my kids. I'm so blessed. None of them ever went sideways. Now, they ain't perfect. But right now, they're all in church and teaching classes. And I got a missionary preacher boy in England. And the kids in Knoxville, they teach and preach in classes. And Shannon and Katie here. And good grandchildren, all saved. Dude, that has nothing to do with me. I'm just an old creek boy that trusted Christ and say, God, you take this thing and go with it. That you've got to hand it to God, because some of this stuff is hard to do. It's not easy. Then you get on over into Luke, and he says, if ye then being evil do know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask? Now, pay attention there what the heavenly Father is giving. It's a gift. The Holy Spirit's mentioned, but it's salvation. It's salvation through faith in Christ. And it says, if ye then being evil know to give. People that are unsaved give gifts to their families. But the best thing in the world that we can do as Christians, men, is give the gift of salvation to our children. Because it pays off not only in this world but the other. Through eternity forever, this gift of the Holy Spirit, salvation, what a wonderful gift it is that God provides and allows us as men, as fathers, to set our children down, or those golden moments, with our children when they're going to bed and we can pray with them and talk to them and they're soft. Golden moments. We need to look for golden moments. There's not only just with children, there's golden moments with your wife. Pam and I's had those moments. She would say something, I'd say, well, let me explain that. And then she'd say something to me and explain it back to me. You need to talk and love each other. In God's care, let the Holy Spirit do His work. And again, he comes back in Luke and says almost the same thing. He says, if ye hath faith as a grain of a mustard seed. Here it's talking about picking up a sycamore tree and throwing it in the creek with that faith. If ye have faith in what God says, He has the gift of salvation for anybody that wants it, if it's presented in the right way. Now, we all need to check ourselves, and I've said this before. Can you witness to somebody? Can you take the Bible and show a family member how to get saved? Trusting in what God says, not what I say. Don't go there and say, now this is what I say. This is, praise God, this is what I think you need to do. No, we know that's not the right thing. Be kind to one another. Take here's what God says. Let me show you what God says about that. Dads, we need to do that. We need to be leaders in our family. And no matter what age, no matter what age my children are, they still look to me as dad because I've got those phone calls today. Let me move along here. I've got so many of these things. If you had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. He's talking. This is Christ talking. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Do you pray for your kids? Do you pray for your family? Do you ask in his name? If you love me, keep my commandments. How much simpler is that? If you love me, it says if now. God's putting the big old ifs in this thing. We sometimes need to check ourselves. If ye love me, I know most of you say you love God and you've trusted Christ as your Savior. But if we're having something going on in our family, dads, moms, God really wants to know, if you love me, you need to trust me with this. Have you taken that thing, whatever it may be, going on? The something going sideways and around in a family that just can't seem to get it fixed. It may be beyond you fixing it. You may, like I said, bring that thing, whatever it may be, box that thing up and lay it right here. Say, God, there it is. I can't do it no more. And pray about it. And ask God, say, God, you've got all the power. You know everything. You know what's going on. Help me to figure out what to say, what to do, and when to do it. See, when is a big thing in a lot of these situations. The right minute, that golden minute. Don't let them golden opportunities pass. God gives us these golden minutes with our children, with our family members. We need not be ashamed for the cause of Christ. We need to let people know that as for me and my house, we're living for God. I don't know the people today. There's so many families that I think are just afraid to say that, even though they may be going to a good church somewhere. These things are a lot of ifs God's got here. If ye were of the world, I mean, are we worldly? And then it says abstain from idols and this and that and strange and unfornication and all big old list. And from which, if ye keep yourself, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. I mean, on and on. Stay away from the garbage. All this self-help stuff that's out there on your telephone and on the computer. And if God's not in it, it's not worth reading. Right here is what you need to read. Just get you one of them programs. They're easy to get now. You can download most of these things, do word searches. It'll really help you in being able to talk to your family members. Dad, step up to the bat today. We got duct tape out there. I don't know what we're going to do with that. put some duct tape on your youngin' today and say, I love you. I'm stuck on you. Anyway, God's good, folks, all the time. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for your love and thank you for Christ and what you did on the cross. Thank you for that gift of salvation. Lord, help us as dads today to step up to the bat and help our families be closer to Christ. God, we love you. Pray for our pastor today as he preaches and teaches. Pray that someone will be saved today in this church. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you all.